And for the bands, we have The Mormons.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the weekly wrap-up. Thank you all for joining us. We are joined in the studio today by comedian Drew Marks. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man. Excited to have you here. I need somebody to add some humor to the shit that's going on in this world right now, dude. It is getting ugly. And we will talk a little, obviously, a little bit about politics, local politics, and who's going to be running this country possibly in the near future. We're going to do a little sports as I do, and I may end up talking as I usually do to myself at times during that, but 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game. We'll do a little science, global warming, maybe, depends who I'm talking to, perhaps, but there is all sorts of shit going on in the world, and as if we needed to go back 11 to 12 years to find more stuff to complain about, let's take a listen to this.
Potential ties between the attacks of 9/11 and the Saudi Arabian government have sparked suspicion for 10 years. But two affidavits filed by former U.S. senators and released Wednesday are posed to push that debate back into the limelight. In a sworn statement, former Democratic Senator Bob Graham said, "I am convinced that there was a direct line between at least some of the terrorists who carried out the September 11th attacks and the government of Saudi Arabia." For Graham, it isn't the first time he's making his suspicions public. In 2008, he told Bill Maher, a foreign government provided support for the 9/11 terrorists, but didn't reveal the name of that government.
They provided logistical assistance. They were rented an apartment for them, paid the first couple of months of rent on the apartment, introduced to a network which gave them both support and cover.
The Times also reports Washington has continued to stand behind Saudi Arabia publicly. The Justice Department aims to have the lawsuits thrown out of court on grounds of international immunity.
The Saudis supply over 10% of the world's oil. I think it's 12 or 14% at the moment. They're a critical ally in the Middle East in many ways. And there's some things you just don't want to know. And I think this process may reflect a bit of that here.
Now, that last part is what blows my mind. And if anybody wants to get in and talk about this, please feel free to call 800-893-9562, 800-893-9562.
Yeah, I think you really got to love the part. It's like there's just some things you might not want to know.
And that's what blows my mind is, first of all, one of the craziest things is the biggest terrorist attack in the history of this country. The investigation is stalled. That had been, you know, the Saudi Arabia connection had been there for, you know, since it's happened.
Sure.
But the investigation was stalled, except now there is a lawsuit that was allowed to proceed. And so now the investigation is kind of continuing because of a lawsuit, not because our country was attacked 11 years ago. But this guy saying, hey, there may be some shit you just don't want to know.
Well, I think that the investigation probably happened originally. It's not like they're finding out new things.
No, the two senators that we're talking about that said that were on the intelligence committee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so they knew them. It's, you know, in other words, they knew the facts. They knew what the people were involved with. It's just like, oh, well, we shouldn't really go public with this because
we'll say all the support they're giving you, but we won't tell you which country.
Right.
We'll play somebody screwing us. You guess who?
I don't think anybody should be too surprised, though.
No, surprise, no. But, I mean, it brings up an interesting question between what's right, what you feel the country should do, what's right, what's consistent, and what the country actually should or can do,
I think, is even more than should.
Yes. Well, should is what you would like them to do, and then what they can realistically get away with. I mean, there are things you think you should do, but you know if you do it, you're going to be in a nuclear war. So,
right.
So, you know, it brings up the question of, like he said, there's some things you may not want to know. And, you know, on one hand, if you've lost people in that, or, you know, even if you haven't lost people in that, and you still feel like, you know what, we've been attacked, I want to know who's behind it, it's hard to argue with that logic. On the other hand, what do you do?
Exactly. What's the action you're going to take? Let's say you have conclusive proof that members of the Saudi family, the royal family, helped with logistics, helped with money, we're directly involved. Okay, we absolutely believe this. We know this to be true. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to suddenly go, forget it. No more Saudi oil.
No, you need them. You need them with all the other shit going on in the world
right
now.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you can't do much. You have connections to them. You have certain... It's hard to... You call them an ally in the same sentence that you're saying they probably, you know, paid money to make sure we were attacked. Yet, ironically, Al-Qaeda can't stand them either because they... are known to help with the West. So,
who in the Middle East likes the other people in the Middle East?
That is a very good question.
You never mind countries. Go block to block. You know, it's like, I don't like the neighbor upstairs. I'd blow him up if I didn't blow up my own building.
That is true. That's why you try to not have the same building feud.
Well, that was a horribly racist Arabian accent, wasn't it? That was I'm standing by it.
Well, yes, but I get the feeling it's not going to be anywhere close to as racist or as questionably moral as that statement was. I don't think you're going to...
If you're saying I'm going to get worse before the show's over, you're absolutely right.
That is what I was trying to say. I'm not really sure what the hell happened. I was trying to say it without saying what the hell you're going to do in the future, but you know what? I think we all know what's going to happen. But I mean, we talk about that and what you can't do, and it brings you to Syria. People want to know why you can't do the same thing with Syria that you did with Libya. And right now you have the Red Cross was supposedly allowed in to help, you know, some of the people
they
in Syria.
They stopped them at the border outside the one city where they need it most.
Well, they're allowed in a city. They're not allowed in a certain neighborhood, which I'm not going to pretend to pronounce because once you have an M followed by an R in a word, I can't help you with that, with the pronunciation. But whatever that little neighborhood was, they wouldn't let people in. And the rumor is, and the logic obviously seems to be that they're cleaning up the mass murders and assassinations that they had in there.
Is that the same place where they got the... you know, they had the press people that they had to evacuate.
That was the city. I don't believe it's from the same. I don't believe that was from the same neighborhood, but it was from that city of Homs.
Okay.
Yes. Or Homs or Homs.
Homs.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't believe it was Homer.
Hummer?
No, it would make that a way more visited city, I believe. But yeah. So, I mean, what do you do? I mean, people say, you helped Libya. You helped Libya. You went in. These people are getting killed. I believe the Red Cross or the UN, let me rephrase that, the UN said well over 7,500 people they expected were already killed. 7,500. Wow. Now, take you look at 9/11. What was that, 3,500? Less than 3,500 people?
Yeah.
Now, by no means am I comparing one attack to the other. Horrible events are horrible events on their own. But look at how this country, we're still over there, you know, over a decade later. And we're talking about standing by while this guy basically bombs his own city as he has people trapped. There are 7,500 people being killed. We can't do much because China doesn't want us to do much. Russia doesn't want us to do much. We know Iran gets involved if we do anything, and that brings Israel in, which may already be happening soon anyway.
But the other thing is, what country over there, I mean, with so many... where dictators are, you know, doing human rights abuses, the list would be almost endless as to places that would justify us being involved. You can't just go. I mean, you know, I hate to, you know, kind of go on the Ron Paul thing, but it's like this empire, you can't just go in everywhere because things are happening. I understand that's what we tend to do, but where do you stop?
It's what we tend to do sometimes. It's what we tend to do when we can get enough support for it. But when you get some, you know, and there's killings that have happened, and there's times when we've stood on a side, and there's times when you get public support to go in. Something like this, which happens a year, as far as Syria I'm talking, which happens less than a year after Libya, and you say, well, what's the difference? We publicly state, I mean, I understand why we can't go in. We were just talking about it, but you publicly state we couldn't stand by why Gaddafi kills his people, which was not as many people as what Assad is doing in Syria right now.
But the other thing is, I think you have to deal with the fact that there's a domino effect. Once the floodgates started opening up, like, and whether it's Yemen, Somalia, Libya, you've got all these countries now that because Saudi Arabia, you know, the dictator went down and there's been this social change. Countries that before never thought about standing up are suddenly doing it. So we're going to find more and more places where this is happening, where they're going to be like, okay, we want to be next and we need the help.
Right, but we were able to stand along the sides and kind of give support for Egypt, but, you know, we didn't have to do what we did for Libya.
Right.
Libya, we had to say, these guys are all going to get slaughtered here in the next couple of days if we don't arm people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once again, I understand with all the other connections, and like you said, the domino effect, which I don't argue with, you can't go into Syria. The problem is when you state publicly for the world, this is why we have to go in here to stop this kind of mass murder,
I agree.
Then the same shit happens, even though realistically you can't do it, you're drawing that line of, morally, we just made this statement, but we can't back it up over here because we can't.
Well, what about all the people that are still bitching and yelling about the Sudan?
Yeah?
It's like that's been going on far worse. The Congo, Sudan, all these places, there's way higher numbers of people dying. But again, what interests do we have?
Yes.
You know, if people are dying in Sudan, in that region, you know, Israel's our ally. It's not a problem for Israel. And I'm not saying that's the only justification to go, but I'm saying we have always found reasons to not help in places just like we do. But I agree with you. You shouldn't say it, maybe, like, why you're doing it.
Well, and that's kind of the catch-22 is you have to. There's things you want to do that I think at times you just can't. I think something that falls into that is, I believe when you become president, Obama said all sorts of things that he wanted to do. Now, some of it he couldn't, but something like closing Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to close Guantanamo. Now, I obviously, this is all just speculation on my part because they don't really fill me in on a whole bunch of the inside information. But I assume he gets into the office. He says, yeah, I'd like to close Guantanamo. And a bunch of people say, okay, here's the thing. We have all these people here that we have no chance of convicting. We don't have it. We know because of whatever shady methods we got the information. We know how bad these people are, but we can't publicly put them on trial. And he went, oh, shit. Well, okay, keep him in Cuba. I mean, total speculation, but I assume,
yeah,
as with any other, you know, anybody running for that office, there's certain things you can do, certain things you can't, but then there's that element of, here's what I would like to do, and you find out, oh, shit, here's all this information that I didn't have the privilege of knowing beforehand. I can't do that. And I assume, you know, and that's pretty much the case. That is the fine line of morally what you think you should do and what you can probably get away with. And with Syria, you know, that gets ugly. And then the same thing with Iran.
What do you think is going to happen?
I think we probably don't do much until Assad. I think Assad pretty much gets away with this for a while.
I tend to agree with you.
I don't think, but now here's what happens. I think it gets wrapped up in Iran. I don't think anything happens with Syria until Iran's in the mix. And then I think Iran is not dealing with this by themselves. When Iran has to be involved in shit, everybody in that region is being involved. Because how you said nobody in that area likes anybody else in that area. There is one, and I agree with that, but there is one unifying effect always. One factor that they always rally around, which is, hey, don't we hate Israel?
Well, yes.
And so that happens, and then, of course, you bring us into it on the side of Israel, and nobody likes us to begin with over there. So whether we're not helping, that's our fault. If we're helping, what the hell are you doing in our country? That's our fault. So for the most part, I think
it's not easy being the great Satan.
No, it really isn't. For years, I've just been a medium-sized Satan, and it hasn't done me a whole lot of good either. But you would think, I don't know, what do you think happens in Iran? Do you think...
In Iran or in Syria?
Well, in either one. I think they're going to end up being connected.
I think Iran's got its own issue. I think that...
Do you think either us or Israel attacks Iran?
I think Iran will likely back down eventually on this whole... You know, just on the nuclear inspectors, I personally don't think Iran is going to play it to the end game where they're going to get attacked.
But now, you know, and it's hard to argue with that, but I said the same thing about Saddam at some point. I said Saddam's going to continue to push and push and push and push, and then eventually he's going to be like, all right, come on in. And maybe he'll hide his stuff like he did, maybe, who knows. But, you know, eventually
but
you keep pushing.
He didn't have the precedent. In other words, he didn't have anything to look at and go, well, they won't actually do it.
Don't push him too far.
Right. He now stands. That's the example. So now Iran gets to look and go, remember when they said they were going to do it? They actually did it.
Some cleric is going to lean over to the other cleric and say, don't Saddam out on us right now.
Right, okay. Exactly. Let's push it just this far.
It is possible, but, you know, there's that element of you have to save face with your own people. And I agree with you, but if they believe we've come this far and we're going to lose, I mean, the word is, and this may just be word that's filtered through our media, the people there generally are Western friendly.
Yes.
It's the clerics, it's the ruling parties that are not.
Well, they tried. I mean, they had their own little revolution. They gave it a shot.
Yeah, which is falls back into what we were talking about. We stood there on the sidelines and went, go, 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 go. Oh,
bigger,
they're crushing.
Exactly.
Oh, they're crushing you. Oh, well, go.
Yeah. we're going to send you a card and support.
Yes. And you know what? And after a while, it became an e-card because we weren't going to send anything through the mail anymore, which is tough.
Well, we did. No, look, I did my part. I liked their revolution on Facebook.
Speaking of which, by the way, like the weekly wrap-up on Facebook.
Too.
Nicely done. That's a fine segue. The Quran, they're still freaking out in Afghanistan over the Quran burning.
Sure.
Now, here's my thing, and I've never understood this. And I understand people here will say that's out, you know, I can't believe how much they're overreacting. We're talking about a part of the world where, you know, people were killed for a cartoon. Yeah. So the Quran burning, by no means am I pretending that wasn't stupid on our part, whether it was an accident or not, or whether it was, you know, pretty much unforgivable because you know how it's going
to
react.
Really, an accident? You don't think anybody noticed, like, dude, you're putting Qurans in the incinerator.
I don't believe it was an accident. And I think what they say was that prisoners were passing notes back and forth in the Qurans. So they took the Qurans and then they just burned them.
As opposed to burning the notes.
Yeah, as opposed to just giving them different Qurans. But and say, here's a different Quran. We're going to take this one that you noted up. But you know what? Either way, stupid. Yeah. You know, and no matter how irrational it is, here's what I don't understand. God doesn't need your help to kill people. If you believe so strongly in God that whether the Bible, Quran, whatever book you pray to, or you believe is the word of God, if God is that powerful, why does he need your help to freak people out? I don't understand that. The people who are killing people for God, could he not do that himself?
Well, they'll argue that. I'm not supporting that side at all.
I understand.
We have known, you know, long enough that these people so vehemently believe in that book as like that it's their, you know, the word of God. In the book, it says something, and I can't quote it because obviously I've never read the thing. I have no real interest in it. But
no pictures.
You know,
there's no pictures.
I'd burn it, but that's just me. They believe it so intensely that it says in the book that anyone who's a heretic or goes against it should be killed. So they're actually just following the word.
I know, and I will say this. There are people who have said that an extreme side of the religion or extreme arm or faction, I should say, of that religion has hijacked it, for lack of a better phrase.
Sure.
There are people that have said it is a way more loving religion than what you just said right there. And although I don't argue that, I'm sure there's hateful and violent and judgmental shit in there, there is in the Bible as well.
I was going to say, you have people that can pull, you know, scriptures from the Bible that'll justify any behavior also. Of course, I believe that it probably is overwhelmingly a peaceful religion. But if there's something written in it that someone's able to just pull out and go, see, look, it says this. And just like the Bible has those things, you can justify any action.
If God is
able. But the crazies will always follow that.
If God is able to build the world, he's able to do miracles throughout your books, throughout the history of the world, which is in these religious books. These religious teachings have God doing all sorts of things. Yet he needs Jim from Wisconsin to stand up and kill somebody. You need Akbar from wherever the hell he is to stand up and kill. You're like, would he not? Why wouldn't he just give him cancer? Like, what? You really? You need somebody else to do it? Can right. God not stand up for himself? It seems once again slightly contradictory to me. But it's not just. I mean, obviously,
it's any religion.
That's exactly the point. And I mean, listen to who is who's starting to run for election here. I mean, when we're worried about who's going to be running against Obama. And his apparent war on religion, as they like to say. Listen to one of the front runners, Rick Santorum. Can we listen to Mr. Rick Santorum, please?
Rick Santorum on Satan.
This is not a political war at all. This is not a cultural war at all. This is a spiritual war. And the father of lies has his sights on what you would think the father of lies, Satan, would have his sights on. A good, decent, powerful, influential country, the United States of America.
Okay, now, there's so many, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, we're talking about the Quran, and people like to talk about the other books, the other predominant religions in other parts of the world, and say, oh, wow, that's kooky. Yet this guy is one of the two front runners for the Republican nominee, and he's talking about Satan coming after the U.S.
Yeah.
Satan. I should have pulled the Dana Carvey clip out of there is what I should have done. I'm shocked they didn't go, Satan?
Right, exactly. Or South Park, you know, where Satan comes up and like is having sex with Saddam Hussein. We're not far off.
No, I mean, how do you argue with the logic of somebody who says this is what God wants? But you know what? Here's the thing is there's speeches where you go, all right, well, he's giving an example. He's giving, you know, that's a metaphor. This guy is talking. I don't care if he's talking to a religious group or not. If he's running for president and he's saying Satan is coming to the U.S., we need to battle Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
What the hell is that? How do you argue with that? How do you reason with that? And then how do you throw science into the mix later on, which we'll talk about later on? But
I don't think science is entering into their argument.
No, science enters into the argument until it disagrees with what they believe God says. But here's the only reason why somebody like Rick Santorum can actually be one of the front runners is because they don't know what the hell the other front runner stands for. Let's listen to Mitt Romney for a second.
I have never supported the President's Recovery Act, all right, the stimulus. No time, nowhere, no how. I think there is need for economic stimulus.
The big issue with Mitt Romney has been the issue of abortion. Has he flip-flopped on abortion?
I will preserve and protect a woman's right to choose.
The right next step in the fight to preserve the sanctity of life is to see Roe v. Wade overturned.
Or he flip-flops again, just like he did on abortion, just like he did on Ronald Reagan.
Look, I was an independent during the time of Reagan Bush. I'm not trying to return to Reagan Bush.
The principles that Ronald Reagan espoused are as true today as they were when he spoke them.
I can't wait for that... For that big boxing match of Romney versus Romney.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That is.
Wow.
I mean, that is. And here's the thing is, we all understand politicians have to say, you know, have to curb their statements to who their audience is. But when you're curbing your statement to the other side of the argument.
The exact about face. Here's the thing. Tough. What amazes me is these guys act as though tape doesn't exist.
As if they're running for office in 1861.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's
like I can just go, I didn't say that. I don't care what you just played.
Well, one of my favorite quotes of all time was, I believe, Newt a handful of months ago when he was quoted as saying something and then he flip-flopped on it so he caught flack for it. So he went, anybody who quotes me is lying. And you went, wait, what? How? I don't... Okay. But that's the problem is that is, and the person we just played, Mitt Romney, both of them, he's for the most part, I think everyone pretty much assumes he's going to win the nominee.
Sure.
Because I don't think anybody who stands up there and says Satan is coming to America is going to win the general election. So I think he's only in the running because the Republicans can't stand Romney.
Well, actually, it could get interesting because, you know, Romney kind of did get Satan's endorsement.
Which one? Trump?
Trump.
Yes. Yes, he did. And you know what? I believe he dropped shortly after he got that.
Well, you know.
I mean, but the fact is one of the things that's hurt Mitt Romney is that because he's so unliked, Santorum was able to, you know, he basically became, at least temporarily, he became the most recent anti-Romney.
They want anyone that's not Romney. You could throw a wig on a pet rock. And it would, at least for a week, rise to the top of the polls.
Quite possibly, although I don't know if you want to put the wig on it because they don't give women a whole lot of respect. You may just want it to be a male pet rock. But, I mean, it has pushed. What it's done is with Santorum leading that, you know, the anti-Romney charge, he has basically opened up a whole social issue that doesn't help Romney in a general election. And, you know, the separation of church and state doesn't help. They always talk about, the Republicans also love to talk about small government. They want small government. They apparently want the government so small that it can fit inside your vagina so they can say, hey, back up. back up, you're not married, you should be having kids, or get out of here. And, you know, it's just so many contradictory things. First of all those people should not be in there. Get out of there. Second of all, the separation of church and state, I mean, for that to be argued is shocking. And for that to be argued is not helping Romney, one. And I wonder if he would feel the same way, obviously talking about Santorum, if we were talking about someone who wasn't a Christian. He talks about how much he feels there shouldn't be an absolute separation of church and state, yet I wonder if he feels that same way about all religions.
Well, he's such a devout Christian. He doesn't think anything that isn't exactly his way has any place, I don't think, in the world. He's not exactly tolerant.
No.
You know, he's like, it's this way or it's wrong.
Yeah.
Now, I think the problem for Romney is I don't think that he actually believes his positions. He was forced, and I'm not a supporter at all, but he was forced to go to the right, or they would have dismissed him outright. But he ventured into an area where he's completely uncomfortable. He had to claim things that just to stay in the front, you know, or close to the front, that were against what I think he normally would have said. I think his original positions, where he supported a woman's choice, I think that's probably where his head and heart is really at. But he knows he's got zero shot to follow that road. Now, it's still going to be hard for him to come and defend that later.
Yeah. I mean, once they move him to the right, and I think this is actually something that started under George W. Bush's election. His first election, they basically went George W. Bush versus Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Gore, they said, boring is sin. So, all right, there's Gore. He's got no personality. Bush comes off as a moron. Some may say he's not a moron. He just comes off as a moron. Well, then he's a fine actor because he comes off as a moron.
I'm going with moron.
Yes. So what they did was, and obviously they did it very well, they, in a way, demonized intelligence, said this guy has no personality, he's an elitist, he can't relate to you. And they said, but Bush, that guy you want to have a beer with.
Exactly.
Which...
he's one of us.
I'm thinking about almost everybody I've ever had a beer with, and none of them should run for office. None of them. And yet, not because they were drinking beer, just the people I know. Drinking beer with somebody does not make you a good candidate. And they were able to successfully do that and demonize intelligence. So now what you got is you got a whole bunch of people screaming, get your government hands off my Medicare and shit like that. That doesn't make any sense. And you go, oh, hey, I wouldn't have raised the debt ceiling, not understanding that you already paid those. You already owe those bills. You spent that money. Mm-hmm. You have to raise the debt ceiling. But they don't know. They
and
just
something
scream.
We've done every time, every year, every time it's come up, it always gets raised.
Yeah. But yet, in this case, no, they don't want to. And so these people have to keep moving to the right to court that vote.
Well, don't you think, though, that is totally because of the rise? You know, I don't know how strong they are right now. I think they're
losing. The Tea Party?
Yeah, exactly.
I think the Tea Party arose, I think, partially. I think that whole movement started back then. I don't think it was a Tea Party movement. I think it was a, hey, the hell with government, and we don't know anything about how government works, but we don't like government. We like to go back to the way it was. You're like, the way it was wasn't that great. The way it was great for a handful of people, I understand, and you guys were farmers, and that's fantastic, and you had slaves. You can't go back to that. I'm sorry, people. And I think you get this big, big motion of, we don't know what the hell we're talking about, but hey, We're just like everybody.
Right.
We're,
no socialism, but don't touch my Medicare.
Yeah. No socialism, yet, you know, government can't do anything. Yet, you know, we're fine with the military. We're fine with Medicare. We're fine with anything that works. But if you try to get everybody medical coverage, you're a socialist or you're Hitler, which, you know, that's what Nazism made me think of, was medical coverage. That is what they were looking for. But Rush Limbaugh, real quick, we got to touch on that douchebag because Super Tuesday is coming up. And, you know, I think we're both falling towards, it's big. There's 400 and something delegates up for this next Tuesday over the next handful of states. Looks like it's going to come down basically.
Newt's coming back.
Newt's going to win Georgia. Newt, they're saying, is going to win Georgia. It's his home state. And I like how he says, well, if I win Georgia, I'm back in it. You're like, all you got to do is win your home state and you're back in it.
Yeah.
But Santorum's beating out Romney by just a few points in Ohio, but That's getting closer than it was a week or two ago. I think the Republicans are kind of, a lot of them are seeing, the more we push this contraception stuff,
the worse they look.
Yeah, the more flack we're going to get. And Rush Limbaugh, I think his comments recently made that even more obvious. He called, the only time I think I've ever heard him apologize was recently when he just called, what was the girl's name? Fluke?
Was it Fluck? Lisa Fluke.
I believe Fluke was her last name.
Yeah.
And a college student who they did not let speak in front in the hearing about contraceptive rights. And so she ended up, a contraceptive coverage, I should say. And so she ended up speaking for the Democrats. And Rush Limbaugh decided to make the analogy that because she wants to get paid, have her contraception coverage paid for by her medical coverage, that she is therefore a slut and is getting technically paid, he said, and so she's a prostitute.
Yeah, paid to have sex. But she wasn't even set to testify. Her testimony wasn't about herself or contraception for her. It was about a friend of hers that wasn't able to get birth control for an ovarian cyst and ended up having to have her ovaries removed. So she was actually trying to testify on behalf of a friend, someone else. And they said that they didn't feel she was qualified.
Nice.
You know, that was Daryl Issa that said, well, we don't feel she's qualified to testify, really, just because she's not on your side.
Yes. She's the only one here that has female parts.
Right.
She's not qualified to talk about female parts. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, we only want to hear from people with two lips. Yeah. Thank you. We'll be here all day.
Hey, you are a filthy bastard.
That was uncalled for.
You see, that's what I was trying to say beforehand. I knew something like that was coming up.
I apologize. I'll leave now.
No. I love every bit of it. I love every bit of it. We will punish you, by the way, though, with talking a little sports coming up. let's see. Can we have the 50th anniversary of Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game.
In his third season, 25-year-old Wilt Chamberlain maintains an astonishing 50-point-per-game average. Then on March 2nd, 1962, against the New York Knicks, Chamberlain chases an unthinkable achievement. After three periods, the Dipper has 69 points, and the crowd is buzzing with excitement.
Wilt Chamberlain has the shot at a 100-point game tonight. He's already broken his own record of 78 points in a game. One shot good. Wilt has 98. Wilt needs one more hoop. He gets a pass, grabs it, and dunks it through. 100 points for Wilt Chamberlain. The most amazing one-man show in basketball history.
A 100-point game. One man.
What was the final score?
I believe it was...
Like 102?
I want to say it was 140-something. 146. First of all, let me say this, that it still hurts to know that that happened to the Knicks. I wasn't alive yet, but it happened to the Knicks.
I was going
to
ask who they played. What was the one that the Harlem Globetrotters used to play? The Generals?
The Generals. Washington Generals.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they... 100 points. And did you hear that stat? In his third season, he averaged 50 points a game. One man averaged 50 points a game. And yet, now obviously the game has changed. We talk about Michael Jordan, and most people from our generation talk about Michael Jordan as the best player they've ever seen. But, and now, yes, it was the height, but, he changed it. Wilt changed the game. Literally changed the game. You get a 7-footer who can actually be an athlete and not stand there and then trip over himself and hurt himself. And apparently can sleep with 3 or 4 people during halftime, because in order for those numbers to add up, this guy had to be busy.
Didn't he also fight Bruce Lee in a movie? Was that Wilt Chamberlain? Wasn't it?
I believe that was Wilt Chamberlain.
Enter the Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe he was like he was the main guy. Like, he was the big, now you got to get past this 7-footer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no. He's like, what do you think? What, are you going to try to stop me at 50 points a game? I'm going to fight Bruce Lee as well. That's how dominant he was.
You're pretty dominant if you can get 50 points a game and kick Bruce Lee.
He is putting in a layup and throwing punches at Bruce Lee at the same time. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, no kidding.
We're not to mention 10,000 women. Was that the number he said?
Yeah.
I want to say it's 10,000. It was something where everybody immediately started doing math and going, wait a second.
I'm actually surprised I've never actually met one. Like, 10,000, you would think. At some point, you could run into one of those women and go, yeah, I'm one of those women.
Wilt Wilt was not young. Wilt is dead. So I'm saying most of those women are not walking around saying, so,
Grandma,
I just got plowed by Wilt Chamberlain a little bit ago in 1968. I don't think that conversation's coming up as much. Not to mention the fact that back then, you may still be having some problems walking or some back problems. Well, I don't know.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, like my mom lives in a retirement community in Florida.
We got a caller. Hello.
No way.
Yeah, that was Roger Murdoch with Bruce Lee, not Wilt Chamberlain.
Oh.
Roger Murdoch.
Really? I thought for sure Wilt was in
I'm disappointed. Are you sure?
This is not Bruce Lee calling, is it not?
No. I think he's about as dead as Chamberlain.
Roger Murdoch.
Well, then,
but it was Enter the Dragon, right?
I think so.
Wait a minute, you're coming with the name of the guy, but you don't know the name of the movie?
Oh, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's who it was. I knew it was somebody.
There you go. That's the one. But you gave us a different actor?
Roger Murdoch from Airplane.
Roger Murdoch was also Kareem. Wasn't that Kareem also?
Yes, no, but he made the whole point of, my name is Roger Murdoch.
Roger.
It is, you know.
Was that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's
name? That was also Kareem. That was also Kareem.
Was that his actual real name? Or was...
No, in the movie Airplane, he was Roger Murdoch.
Okay.
Is that correct? And then it was like, Roger. And
yeah, over.
Oh, God, that was so funny. And then when he pulls him out, tell your dad to try to lug... What was it, Bill Walden up and down the court every night?
Lanier.
Oh, my God, that was so funny. When they drag him out and he's got the goggles and the short shorts on.
Oh, God,
that was so funny.
It is Fluck, by the way, that she's a law student.
Fluck, thank you.
That Limbaugh was, going apeshit over. And here's the thing. The reason why he apologized yesterday, on a Saturday, slow news, it's always
right.
on a Saturday. But it's because his accountants or his money be like, it was affecting his bottom line.
Well, yeah, three advertisers pulled out.
Yes.
Right. 100%. Yeah, so
like, you know,
yeah, so as we all know, if he didn't lose him...
Yeah. And the funny thing is, one of the people, like the Sleep Number Bed Company, is one of the advertisers that pulled back. I just think that's kind of ironic and funny.
You're having sex,
it's like the bed people. It's like...
And a florist pulled out as well. And perhaps pull out is not the best phrase in this story, but yes, they... They pulled their advertising? Sure, that's clean enough. Yes, but
Limbaugh is loving this week.
You think he's like, even though he'd lost and had to apologize and lost a few people, you think he likes this much publicity anyway?
I mean,
generally, I don't argue with you. I mean, generally, I think any publicity is good publicity, especially when you're known for being a douchebag. But I think in this case, he has so many listeners. And he's such an arrogant dick that I think him having to apologize pisses him off.
Yeah, I think he couldn't go in the way of Glenn Beck.
I'm hoping for that this could cause a domino effect that, people will continue to hammer away at his advertisers every time he puts his foot in his mouth to this degree.
Yeah.
Just give him time and he will.
I think that would be fantastic. If this is the beginning of people, taking notes on big gaffes that he has, that would be nice. If this opens the floodgates of people going, it's not worth it. We're going to drop some advertising. I doubt it'll hurt him too much in the long run because with today's, but I hope so. I hope you're right because with today's.
The people that are listening to him.
That's all they want to hear.
Exactly.
Then that's what I'm saying is I think today's day and age, people that listen to Fox News, watch Fox News, they don't want to know that's wrong. They don't want to know if something's incorrect. They don't want to know Sean Hannity is the seventh biggest dick in the history of the world.
They're just in their own echo chamber. That's all it is. I mean, but isn't that what, any political stripe? I mean, it's, for the most part, that's what people gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is definitely true. And I mean, that's one of the things about, with all the news channels and the 24-hour cycles today where people don't really learn anything else. Whatever they believe, there's already something they can click on that tells them that.
That's because we've gotten away from where news was just news. Now it's news opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That is definitely true. That is definitely true. Let me ask you, caller. First of all, what's your name?
Roger Murdoch.
You were going with Roger Murdoch. Roger. Love it. So, Roger, you a sports fan?
Big sports fan.
Now, let me ask you this. We're going to, you know, I know Drew is interested in the Peyton Manning thing. Drew's a big Giants fan because I've been standing next to him during the playoffs screaming a lot. But before I get to that and our series of guesses, since he only has a couple of days before he either goes somewhere or stays with the Colts, I wanted to talk to you real quick about Pete Rose. Pete Rose and Drew, Phil, obviously free to give an opinion on this, is that Pete Rose has been out for 22 years, banned for baseball for 22 years now. Next year, both Bonds and Clemens become eligible for the Hall of Fame. Now, they're probably not getting in, obviously, certainly not in the first vote because of all the allegations. But neither one of them were technically found guilty. In which case, although I'm still hoping they get the death penalty for Clemens, but that's because I'm a Mets fan. But still, neither one of them have technically been found guilty yet. And the question is should they be allowed to vote when what they have done has skewed the numbers so much? Should they be even allowed to be voted on and Pete Rose not?
They should both be in. Pete Rose should not be in. Drugs for all, gambling for none when it comes to the game. You don't bet on your own team. That's the biggest rule number one. You don't do it.
Wait a minute. Drugs for all? Are you kidding?
Drugs for all. Give them all steroids. Let everybody juice.
How do you stop the kids? How do you stop the kids from doing it?
You know, you tell them it's, you know, right and wrong. That's it, you know?
You tell them it's right and wrong?
Right and wrong, you know, but for wrong you could make millions?
Yeah,
that's going over well. Yeah. And try abstinence at the same time.
I mean, you know what? It's like life isn't that simple. And if the people passing judgment on the people that take the drugs, if they had an opportunity to take any drug to make them better at their job, they'd do it.
Oh, I don't blame any of that. And I said this about A-Rod, who I'm not a big fan of, but I don't blame A-Rod. Has made $500 million in contract money alone. $500 million.
If people were using performance enhancers when they had the opportunity to, before we had a 24-hour news cycle, you're not paying attention.
For half a billion dollars.
I think that's wonderful.
For half a billion dollars, I would have a steroid smoothie every day of my life.
Every day.
Absolutely. Yes. You see, I disagree.
You can't disagree because I would do it almost for the taste alone. You can't disagree.
No, I'm not saying I'm disagreeing for you.
Okay, fair enough.
No, and I think with sports, you that's a horrible thing. You can't just allow people to, because here's the thing. If you're going to say, all right, look, if people want to do it, then you're absolutely eliminating all the people that don't want to do it.
You can buy cigarettes, you can buy alcohol, you can buy things that are bad for you.
But they don't.
But
with sports, with all sports, we know that they do not like to do anything that compromises the history of the game. And if all of a sudden your numbers don't match up with any of the other numbers that they've had, and baseball is a very statistic-driven sport, that's tough. Now, that being said, I agree with you because it's a whole era of people that you're going to be questionable about. So I don't think you can wave those people off. I don't think you can not put them in the Hall of Fame. My thing with Pete Rose should never be allowed to work in baseball again. I don't argue that. But I think his name should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he should be allowed to make money at it, and I understand that. But fact is to just ignore that he has the most hits in the game is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
You got to bring up Shoeless Joe then.
Put him in there as well. I think having your name mentioned in the Hall of Fame is different. That's for your achievements. That's different than you being allowed to work in the sport again.
Put a plaque next to it and say what he did.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Pete Rose had the most hits. However, he has been banned from baseball for this reason.
We should start our own Hall of Fame about people that don't get in because of drugs.
I like it.
We'll call it the drug sports, gambling drugs, let's say.
Somebody's drinking.
We'll call it the Art Schleister Memorial Drug and Gambling Hall of Fame.
Hey, Roger Murdoch.
Who is making that sign?
Roger Murdoch, are you on drugs right now as we speak? How many drugs are you on right now, Mr. Murdoch? Because I will name one wing of that Hall of Fame for you. I don't know. That's my thought. Is basically you can't ignore the numbers. So I would put his name in the Hall of Fame because to ignore it is you're just pretending it didn't happen. He didn't do it. But when you put his name in the Hall of Fame, put it in. The all-time hit leader, unfortunately, is banned from the game for the rest of his life for gambling. What, you know, how does that...
Well, then Joe Jackson should have something else as well. I mean,
sure, sure. And I think that should be the case as well.
I think he had the second highest career batting average.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it is ridiculous to ignore the numbers.
At all. He had a great music career.
He did.
slightly different Joe Jackson. Hey, Roger, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
You see, with that whole steroid thing, I just don't think you can allow that in the game because you're forcing then anyone who's not on it to have to do it to remain competitive.
No, I agree with you. You can't. It's just I don't think you can keep those people out of the Hall of Fame because you can't prove who did it. So whether you say,
with Barry
hey,
Bonds,
here's...
Man, look at the size of his head.
I understand that. And, I mean, maybe you can just implicate him by having, like, the bust of his head not be finished, like it extends past the sides or something.
He's going to take up more than his fair share
of room. Give him half a head. You just give him half a bust of his head and be like, we couldn't fit the rest in the mold.
Like the poor guy that's next to him is, like, squeezed up into a corner. It's horrible.
All right. let's move on from sports a little bit because I know we're running a little late. But, we're going to hit a little science. We're going to hit a little science topic, but I don't know if you're a Dr. Seuss fan.
I love Dr. Seuss, actually.
Well, I want you to be careful when you go see any Dr. Seuss stuff because they're messing with your head. Can we listen to a little Lorax?
Now, an unmentionable, a story you won't hear anywhere in the liberal national media or nearly all of the national liberal media. Hollywood is once again trying to indoctrinate our children. The Lorax, an adaptation of the classic Dr. Seuss children's book. The movie, set to be released nationwide next month, is about a woodland creature who speaks for the trees and fights rampant industrialism.
It all started a long time ago when I accidentally summoned a mystical creature as old as time itself, the Lorax.
Hey!
What?
Did you chop down this tree?
What's that?
Hey! I think he did it.
Huh? Universal Pictures also promoting the movie, partnering with companies to push eco-friendly products.
Eco-friendly products, he says angrily.
That is Lou Dobbs?
Lou Dobbs.
That's amazing. So he wants to deport the Lorax.
Yes. Build a wall to keep out the Lorax is his call. First of all, what was it? The Muppet movie beforehand that they said was indoctrinating kids or had
no,
some
it wasn't
sort of
the Muppet. Well, it might have been a Muppet, but the big one was the Dancing Penguins.
I don't know about Dancing Penguins, but I believe that. They did it with the Muppet movie as well. I know that. And it's... there's certain things that blow my mind. And I mean, there was a couple of articles about ocean acidification and more global warming and ice melting and things along those lines. But before we even get to that, the idea of, I don't understand where certain things that we were taught as children don't, trees are good.
Yeah.
Like,
protect the environment.
Now, nobody, how that became, hey, our kids are being indoctrinated. When we were young, were common thoughts that were good. They were good for the world. And somehow now it has become hey, don't tell me that I can't waste as much shit on this planet as possible.
I know it may be my age might be showing, but you remember like you used to have the public service announcements like give a hoot, don't pollute?
Yeah.
There was a little owl, give a hoot, don't pollute.
Yeah.
Now these guys want to shoot the owl.
Yes. You're talking about comrade hoot? Is that what you're talking
about,
comrade?
It was like, you had Smokey the Bear, it's like all these people. It's like now all of a sudden, all those values are negative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suddenly you're a communist and you hate America if you want to save the environment. I don't know what's wrong with these people.
I mean, that's what blows my mind. He says, the Lorax fights rampant industrialism. Like, dude, when you have a cartoon character knocking down a full forest, that it's bad for the cartoon character to stop that, for somebody to stop that. That's that the kids are being indoctrinated.
Yeah.
The kids are being indoctrinated.
I don't know how they call them we're raising armies of little eco warriors. Like, the kids are suddenly going to come out of the movie wearing fatigues.
It blows my mind. Yeah, that would be nice. It blows my mind. There's things, I mean, Michelle Obama, when she came out with her, every first lady has their mission, their issue, or whatever it is that they tackle. And she was dealing with childhood obesity. And yet, just from that, hey, everybody, your kids are disgusting. Everybody pretty much went.
And she didn't even say that, which she should have.
No, she should have. She should have said, you know what? I took a look basically at our nation and you guys are gross.
Yeah.
But no, she didn't. She said, hey, your kids should eat healthy. Your kids should get exercise. And everybody went, who is this communist trying to tell me how to raise my kids?
Yeah. That's because we're going to be a nation of a little Augustus Gloops.
I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound healthy.
You don't know Augustus Gloop?
No. Is it my last name? Am I related to an Augustus Gloop?
No, that's Willy Wonka, maybe. Chocolate Factory,
oh,
big fat kid fell
yes.
in the chocolate river.
An Oompa Loompa?
An Oompa Loompas are the little things that work for
then what the
Willy
hell?
Wonka.
Then what was the other thing?
Augustus Gloop was this really fat kid that knelt down by the chocolate river and fell in.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, but he was the poster child for obese children.
Nice. Well, that is very nice because God knows they need a poster child.
It's a big poster.
It is an enormous, enormous poster. You know what? Let's go to the headlines because before otherwise I'm going to get into global warming and why and when they choose to believe the science, but that's just going to drive me nuts. So let's go to the headlines. Well, we got about a little less than 10 minutes to go. Unfortunately, were you a Monkees fan?
I love the Monkees.
Yeah, that is terribly sad, terribly sad. We lost Davy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
What, 66 years old? Is that what he was?
Yeah, I think so. He's pretty young.
Yes, yeah.
They just toured, I think, last year.
Yeah, yeah, for their some high number anniversary.
Yeah, like it's got to be like 50th.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe not 50, like 30th.
It was, I think it was more than that even. 45th anniversary. It was their 45th anniversary when they toured last year. 66 years old. Just within the past year, he came out of a doctor's appointment and told the press that he was told he had a young, healthy heart. I believe the phrase was heart of a 25-year-old. Turns out maybe his doctor didn't really know what a 25-year-old looked like, or maybe he was that Gloop guy at 25. Yeah. I have no idea, but that is... you know, one of the, you know, it'll be a great loss, a horrible, horrible icon, a horrible loss of an icon in Davy Jones. And then we go to the other side of our death chart.
Oh, you're talking about one elevator goes north, one goes south?
Yes, sir. Going down, Mr. Andrew Breitbart, perhaps. Now, I know they do say you should never speak ill of the dead. However, when I'm saying exactly what I would say when he was alive, I don't feel that bad about it. I also know an Andrew Breitbart, who I will not call a journalist. I will call a right-wing blogger. Is that?
Yeah, that's about right.
Died at 43 years old of what they called natural causes, which I've never heard karma referred to as natural causes before. But that 43 years old, he is the guy who, one, he basically took down, no pun intended, what's his name, Anthony Weiner.
Yeah.
Although Anthony Weiner pretty much did that himself. Well,
yeah, Weiner helped contribute to that.
Yeah. But the whole, I can't call you a journalist when you basically edit together pieces to make it look like something else.
He also was behind
Shirley Sherrod.
Acorn.
Acorn, yes, when they edited together that fake piece about, yeah, and then Shirley Sherrod, and he basically edited something to make her sound like she was racist, and then turned out.
And then later he even admitted, oh yeah, that was wrong.
Yeah, but I believe he blamed it on Fox News for playing an edited version.
Right.
Yes.
The one he gave them.
Yes, so our heart goes out to the family of Andrew Breitbart or whoever had to live with him when
he was
alive.
Now, were there just two this week? Because it always goes in threes?
Well, yeah, unfortunately. Every
Does
week.
Does Whitney count as the third? Or?
No. Whitney's already gotten a couple of weeks worth of stuff. So we, unfortunately, ever since we started this show, there's been a death section. And speaking of death section, a woman named Barbara Johnson is in Washington, D.C. this week. She is a lesbian. Her mother passed away, at the funeral, Father Marcel Garnizo, I believe is his name, he learned of her relationship with her female partner of 19 years and decided when she was about to take communion, he covered the symbolic body of Christ and said, I can't give you communion because you live with a woman and in the eyes of the church, that is a sin.
Now, did you see the picture of this woman?
Yes, I did.
It was in the paper. Yeah, I'm pretty sure when you look at her, that's when you learn
that she's gay.
She was a lesbian. Yeah.
Yes.
It was not a lot of guesswork.
No. She was gay times 10, and more power to her. But Yeah, that wasn't a surprise when they showed the photo. I understand that. But
he didn't need to wait till the communion moment to bring that up.
Right. Now, I don't understand any religion, no matter what religion, but I don't understand most of the rules to begin with. But first of all, I thought they assume everybody sins and then they have to confess.
You get forgiven. Right.
So
Lord
I don't
loves everybody.
Right. So, and I thought at the very least you can confess or at the very least at the end accept Christ and then you're fine. So why this guy decided to make a stand there seems a little strange. And then he wouldn't finish the service and go to the...
He left.
Yes. He locked himself in the room and said he was sick and wouldn't continue and wouldn't go to the cemetery. She wants him fired. She did get a letter back from, wherever the hell she wrote, the Archdiocese.
Yeah.
Yes. And, he basically apologized, but, you know, damage is done.
He said that, you know, they don't condone that sort of behavior and that he's hoping she can find her way back, you know, in the good graces of the church.
Yeah.
The whole notion is absurd.
Sorry, we said you're not worthy and we made your mother's funeral even worse. Hope you can find it in your heart to come back and give us more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. Moving on, though, we got a Montana judge. You hear about this douche?
Oh, God, I love this guy.
The Montana judge who decided to send forward a racist Obama email, which basically implied that black people might have been children of humans.
He implied his mother might have had sex with a dog.
Which is what I was saying, which is basically, yes, implying that black people are children of humans and dogs. And then went, I'm sorry, I just don't agree with him politically. I shouldn't have forwarded that email, but I'm not racist.
Well, when he forwarded the email, he actually said, this touched my heart. And I hope it touches yours in the same way it touched mine.
It's nice to have.
You're touched all right,
nice.
But it's not in the heart.
It's nice to have a nice to have a deep, deep racist. That's what I like. Yeah. I like a racist who's not afraid to look inside.
Yeah, an emotional one.
Yeah. Now, I mean, here's the thing is, you know, I understand that there will be, he's not going to step down, I'm sure. But how do you look at a man like that and say, this guy is the person who should be judging for other people?
Oh, I don't think he should be allowed to judge at all. I think he should absolutely be fired. How can you, if you are anyone of race, you know, anything other than like the nice white guy that he is in Montana, if you go up before him, how are you going to feel that you got a fair shake, that he's not, you know, biased or that, you know, it's not tainted?
Yeah, tough to look at that man and say he is the judge of character that we should use.
Yeah.
And
fair and unbiased.
Exactly. Based on, depending on how tan you are when you go in front of them. Yeah. No,
not
I don't
to mention if you're a dog owner.
You ain't voting for Romney either.
yeah.
Last headline before we get to what is wrong with people. German Chancellor Merkel. Did you see that? That was awesome.
Oh, the beer fest.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's fantastic.
The German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, was at an event sitting down, and you can see, and it's on YouTube, you can see the waiter behind her with 5 beers on a tray. And he says he got touched from behind. I don't know if he did or if he just panicked, but all 5 beers slide off the tray and onto her back. And she seemed to play it off pretty well. It's tough to know whether or not she's angry because all Germans sound angry. But she played it off pretty well. She definitely played it off pretty well. Although generally you don't want, you know, you don't want your chancellor stinking like a brewery.
Hey, look back a while. Remember like the Japanese prime minister? He's probably going, at least they didn't throw up in your lap.
That is very true. That is very true. That would be tough. And at least it wasn't, you know, a president of the United States that dropped his beer.
Do you think that guy still has a job?
No, he's probably done. But all right, let's wrap it up with what is wrong with people. Drew, we got half a minute. We got 25 seconds.
All right.
Who's your person?
You want to go first?
No, no. Who's your person?
It would either be Rush Limbaugh or whoever the guy is that tagged the wall outside my house.
Oh, that douchebag. Yeah, that
would be my guy.
That is, you were like the token gringo in that thing. You were like gringo star in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.